I don't think mine's loud enough again. I honestly, it's hard for me to tell here.
You're a loud talker.
Is that better?
Yes.
All right, that's probably better right there. Okay. That's the levels we're going with right there. So hopefully it doesn't peak.
Okay.
Are you worried it's going to peak?
No.
Not a worrier, are you?
Nope.
All right. Let's do the show then.
That's why my friends call me Whiskers.
Now let's do the show.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 382 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Canada, North America, keep going. Where else? Northern Hemisphere.
In case people were confused about the other Vancouver.
How is Vancouver, man?
Amazing.
Is it?
I don't know.
It is April. You shouldn't be too. We talked last week about the weather, which we talk all the time. As we get older, I find that we talk about the weather too much. Do you think we paid attention to the weather that much? Like, did you ever look at a forecast before you were 30?
No, but let me just say this. The only time I cared about the weather, I grew up in northern Ontario where, you know, it snows. It doesn't really snow much out in these parts. And as a kid, I think as most kids, all I cared about is whether or not we would potentially get a snow day, which meant I could stay home and throw snowballs off stuff.
I see. Yeah, well, so...
Snow day!
Yeah, in my life, I never really paid attention. Like... Plus the weather forecast in Vancouver is kind of a, you know, mixed bag anyways. They don't do a very good job. I mean, maybe now, I don't know, but growing up, they didn't do a very good job of it. Because it changes, being on the ocean, it changes so fast anyways. Whereas in Germany here, where we are in the middle of Europe, they get it down to the hour. So they know when the rain's coming and they're pretty much bang on.
Right.
Another episode of what are they talking about?
Okay, I have a weird tie in. This just popped into my head, and sometimes when this happens, I have to get this out. Have you ever seen? It's probably, I want to say, late 90s, maybe somewhere around 2000. There was a movie called Snow Day.
Chevy Chase.
I don't think so. I think it's just a horrible, bad comedy. We'll have to.
Pretty sure it's Chevy Chase, man.
Is it in real time? Okay, so there's a female in that role or in that movie who I sat beside in English class in high school. And
okay,
she's
filmed in Vancouver.
She's also very, I think she's in that movie, but she was the very attractive, female in Entourage that played like Eric's girlfriend. Her name was Sloane.
Sure. Do you know, in that?
Yeah. She was Sloane, like the,
Emmanuel
Creechy. Yeah. She sat next to me in English in grade 12.
Really?
Yeah. Did I ever bring this up on the show?
I've never heard this in life.
Yeah, I think she's in Snow Day too. But anyway, so her probably biggest role where people would know her from, but because I said Snow Day, I had to come up with that.
Oh, she's in
reference.
The movie that opens today, I happen to notice. Or no, last week, sorry. We're recording today.
What movie is that?
Super Troopers 2.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I like Super Troopers 1. I don't think she was in that.
And you went to high school with her.
I sat next to her in English. She used to cheat off me on tests in high school English.
Really?
Yeah.
She didn't speak English?
No, she did. I don't think she was the strongest of students, but she was in drama, and I went to a high school that was, you know, there is a regular stream, and then there was the school for the arts, and she was in the drama stream at Unionville High School, where I went to school growing up, and she was super, super nice person that, again, just thought, okay, we had lots of drama students at our school, and didn't know she was going to turn out to be, you know, pretty well for herself in Hollywood, mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool, but yeah, Snow Day, so there you go, there's the tie-in. When I said Snow Day, I thought, Emmanuel, like, she's someone who made it out of our high school.
Do you ever talk to her now, though?
No, I didn't. Outside of English, I don't think she talked to me a whole lot outside of English anyways. Again, mm-hmm. she was in drama, so they had their own crew.
Do you think she's down in Los Angeles right now having coffee with somebody at 10 in the morning?
Talking about English?
Telling them, yeah, you know who I sat next to? One of the hosers.
I don't.
No, the ugly one.
Oh, yeah, not the super stoic one that doesn't smile in photos. The other guy. The happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah. Maybe. You never know.
I think we know.
I don't know that, again, she's probably done things since Entourage, but I haven't seen her name pop up. So it's funny that you mentioned literally a movie that's opening as we speak. She's in. So that's kind of mm-hmm. that's kind of a weird coincidence.
Yep. Super Troopers 2. Nothing else I see that I recognize.
Okay. All right. Everyone who watches Entourage, though, Sloane, that's who we're talking about. Sloane from Entourage.
Wow. I am scrolling down and I got nothing.
In terms of her IMDb.
Well, she has a ton of credits. Like, she's obviously working.
Yeah, but stuff that doesn't ring any bells for you.
I didn't see St. John of Las Vegas.
Okay.
Didn't see that one.
Okay.
So how far down should I scroll? So Snow Day's pretty much, Police Academy, the series.
Sweet. But Snow Day, she was in Snow Day, right?
She was in Snow Day, yeah. With Chevy Chase.
I don't think I ever actually saw the movie. Just remember, like, from the
video. Nobody did.
From the video store, like, she was on the cover of the video, like the VHS video or DVD or whatever it was. I don't even know if it was a DVD at that point.
Just because I have not seen these doesn't mean it's they're no good. She has 80 credits, which is very impressive.
Okay. All right. Emmanuel, star, Hollywood star.
I'll give her a shout.
Starlet.
Right.
Okay.
Are we still doing that? I don't know. Amazon, if you need to buy English tests, is that how we're tying it in?
Sure.
I don't know how to tie it in this week. If you want to buy Snow Day, I bet you can get it on Amazon.
Sure you can.
And if you do, want to get Snow Day, take a long look in the mirror.
Okay.
Unless you're getting it for Emmanuel, and then, of course, then you're good to go. But, you know, she's good in Entourage, so leave it there. If you are, click through our site and help us out. And we very much appreciate it. All right, what is going on, Adam?
Not a heck of a lot since we talked last, but mm-hmm. I'm here, I'm ready. Can you hear in the tone of my voice the intensity level? I'm ready to talk about photography.
Who played third base for the Vancouver Canadiens in the mid-80s? Randy Reddy, that's right. His name was Randy Reddy.
Okay, that's a great little reference.
That's a great name.
Did he make it to the bigs?
I'm pretty sure he did with Philadelphia, it seems to me, but I don't know why I think that.
Okay.
But yeah, he was big. Oh yeah, he was a fan favorite. Well, back when we were AAA, Vancouver. I had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Well, they were AAA back then, and Randy Reddy. So you are ready. You sound like Randy Reddy. Okay. That's what I'm telling you.
All right.
We just got back ourselves from a weekend away at a cabin in a place called the Allgäu, which is an area in Germany, in the southern Germany.
Okay.
Okay, we haven't gotten back yet, but when you hear this, we've gotten back. So it was amazing.
Awesome.
The hills are alive.
I thought you were going to say had eyes.
Well, no, this is kind of the area of where they would have, not quite Austria, but this is kind of the area where, similar to that, the Sound of Music.
Gotcha.
So I'm gonna basically, when I do go next week, or have been last week in the time continuum, I will be singing nothing but songs from Sound of Music.
Hooray.
I am 16, going on 17.
Keep going.
Favorite.
Yeah.
No, that's all. That said, how do you solve a problem like Maria? I got them all. I'm going to have, people will be so sick of them by the end of the trip. So there's that. Anyways, maybe some good photos. We'll see.
I'm looking forward to it.
No, you don't care.
Not really.
All right. Reminder. Monthly challenge. We're going to do that May 8th. We'll talk about that a couple days before that. May 5th, something like that. maybe even earlier, 50 millimeter focal length. That's the monthly challenge for April. Hashtag that, hey hosers, or hashtag two hosers monthly challenge. And we'll review that, and Adam will probably make fun of it until you quit.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what he does. Did you shoot anything interesting?
Nope.
This week? Well, I hope you did, actually, even though we haven't had a chance to talk about it.
Okay.
Maybe you did?
Again, because we're recording these close together, mm-hmm. zero time has existed. What he's saying is it's possible that I did shoot something interesting. I just don't even know it. I'm gonna say yes, I did. I don't know what it is, but maybe I'll talk about it on the next week's episode.
Sure, that'll be good. Okay.
That wasn't confusing enough. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I did save one because I shot. I took the. Remember last 2 weeks ago. Must be 2 weeks ago by now.
Sure.
I took the. I bought the. I can't think of what they're called now because I'm also processing a photo while I say this because I forgot to process it earlier, and I'm putting it in the Dropbox. Go. The step up rings.
Right.
And so I wanted to basically shoot with the 1/8 black Pro Mist on the X100. So I bought the 49 to 58 mil step up ring. And so I did. I took it out to the playground. Last Sunday, the weather was amazing. And so just on a whim, I took the kids to a playground we don't normally go to. We have been in the past, but it's a bit of a hike. Not a. Nobody cares, Alan. Just tell me. It went to the playground.
Sure.
And so I brought the X100 with me with the Pro Mist. And so I shot a whole bunch of photos. Love it. Love how that looks. Definitely a different look than just a normal camera. So I just posted one of my kids going down the slide that I got for you to have a look.
It's super creepy.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why I picked that one. Because what is Doug doing there?
Is that, that's someone you know?
No. No.
Just for the listeners at home, the picture is of Al's kids going down the slide, big smiley grins on their faces. And then it's impossible not to notice just in behind them in the background, sitting in like a sort of a disheveled wooden hut that I guess is surrounding. There's a few of them, it looks like, surrounding this playground. There is a creepy dude kind of peeking from the shadows, wearing again, kind of the attire that you would think a super creepy dude would wear. But it's partly just because of the way the light is. And again, he sits in the hut, which is kind of just making him darken in the shadows enough to think that this is a child predator is what we've got going on here.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's what it looks like.
It could be that the comic book store is closed on Sunday.
That's possible too. But if you put this photo up on the news, you'd think, yeah, this was the last time those children were seen. That's what this photo looks like.
You're not wrong about that. No, you say impossible to notice, but I didn't notice him while I was taking the picture. It wasn't until I got home where I went, oh, wow, hey, it's the kid from Three Men and a Baby all grown up.
Right.
The ghost kid?
Yeah, I got you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it is super creepy, and I'm not making fun of you know, the existence of child predators here. You have to see this photo, and then I'm sure it'll all become very clear what I'm saying here.
Oh yeah, he's on a list.
Yeah, this guy is someone to watch out for.
It's just kind of weird. I'm sure his kid is sitting next to him in that little hut. Although why looking at my kids? But I'm sure he's playing with his kids because there was nothing creepy at the time. And actually, playground's full of people, like off to the left and the right. People everywhere having fun. So this isn't. I don't think this guy is that.
I agree with you.
He is wearing the uniform though.
Yeah, he is. And again, it's the shadows. This is really how light plays mood here. And you have the you know, in the sunshine, you have your kids and the big smiling happy faces, and then in the shadows, you have the mysterious, creepy dude.
Yes.
And it's partly the hut. The hut creates that mood, too. This hut looks like it's falling apart. It's where a creepy dude would hang out.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Creepy Dude Hut. That's the worst ride at Disneyland. You do not have to book that one. You can walk right on.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, do that. But other than that, though, like I like the sort of, you know, gritty look to it. The color tones like that. That was the classic chrome profile that's built into the Fuji X100. I mean, this is shot raw, but I applied it later in Lightroom.
Sure.
But I like what's going on with the lights and the darks and the shadows, except for that one spot, like you said. But the rest of it, I really like the look here. And also my kids are having a good time. So
sure, yeah. Always good to see that. And together. It's hard to get them authentically having fun for a photo together. I can look back over the years and I don't have as many photos as you would think, considering the 15,000 photos I probably have taken of my kids in the last 10 years. Mm. There's probably 25 where they're genuinely not posing and having fun like this together. And most of the time that's on a slide. That's the takeaway. Yeah.
Yeah. And the key is you just have to Photoshop out the creepy dudes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Get rid of them. But also right behind my daughter, you can see that's actually one of her friends is in there as well. And the main reason I chose this photo as opposed to one of the other ones I'd snapped that day is her face is just obscured enough because I didn't really get permission to use her picture.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, I didn't get Buddy's permission either. Craig didn't give me his permission, but...
Now he's famous.
Doesn't matter. There you are, Craig.
Yeah.
Wow. Do I have to blur his face out now that you called him a pedophile?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the proper form when you call someone out like that.
When you out the guy? I did not. To be clear, just for in case Michael Cohen's listening, it was Adam who said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Anyways, love having that little filter on there. I posted a picture on our Facebook last week of what it looks like. For those of you who can't imagine what a step-up ring looks like. Really cool. Very, very handy. $8 well spent.
Okay.
All right. Photo challenge this week is bokeh, thanks to you. You chose bokeh, so why don't you go first? Which one are you picking?
I'm picking the one that says Bokeh Adam. The point of the second one wasn't so much to enter it as a photo challenge. It was just all I did was change. Pretty much, I think all the parameters on the camera were the exact same. I just changed my angle and distance to the flowers, and I just wanted to show how different the photo looked from just that subtle change.
All right, so is this the cherry blossoms already?
Yeah, this is cherry blossoms, and
that's usually pretty early, isn't it? May.
They already had a cherry blossom festival at Gary Point in Steveston. So
wow,
I guess they're planning on it because that occurred like I want to say a week or so ago.
Okay, well, there you go.
I think timing is right, but yeah, these are just in our front yard area. There's a tree that has these, and I decided, hey, flowers are good because they're still, and if I'm going to take a bokeh shot, this is something that's relatively easy to do, and I can, you know, try it with varying amounts of blur to the background and decide what I like the best afterwards. So the one I went with is really blown out with the background. I think I'm lying on the grass for this one, looking up at the tree, so you can see some of the blue of the sky bleed through in behind the rest of the tree. And I just found a hanging branch and focused on that and tried to compose it the way I thought would be interesting to my eye. And the background, I think this is a 4.5, an f4.5. And I think I shot everything between 4 and 5.6. And then not quite at 200 millimeters, but 100 plus millimeters. And just snapped the photo. So all ambient light. I'm in the shade at this point, so it's kind of a very soft light, and really, really, you can see, you know, this is hammering home that I'm taking a bokeh shot, which I think when everybody gets a fast lens, they tend to do this. But I really liked it, and again, not a photo I would otherwise ever take, but I like flower photos and I like cherry blossoms, and I thought, again, this kind of has a sort of a background wallpapery type photo for me. Like this is something not for the living room, but could easily be a bathroom photo.
Agreed.
And then the other one, which I might actually like better as an overall photo, but as a hammering home the bokeh feel, just not quite as Soft Aboka is just right. basically a slightly different perspective. So I'm standing a little bit further away from from the flower that I'm really focusing on, which is the one that's kind of in that bottom third of the image, just above the bottom third, right dead center. And so you see there's still like, you know, there's a nice bokeh to the flowers and whatnot in the background, but it's a lot more in focus than the first shot. And I just thought, oh, I'm going to go with the one that's really hammering home the idea of this being a bokeh shot.
Well, I like your original one better because the bokeh is much nicer. The other one does show the sort of gradually going out of focus versus just the background being gone.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so...
But again, that's just a difference of 1 foot of movement with my body. Everything else, like right. I said, I'm pretty sure all the other parameters stayed the same. I just was playing around with how much, you know, out of focus background do I want. And so, I mean, you can agree that with the difference of if everything else staying more or less the same, like these photos don't really look much alike other than the actual in focus cherry blossom.
Right.
Yeah. So
nice.
Fun with bokeh. There you go.
Fun with bokeh and cherry blossoms. I also chose a flower.
Okay.
I forget why. I was going to do something else and then didn't and chose a flower.
Flowers for both of us for two consecutive weeks without ever discussing it. What are the odds of that considering how many flower photos between us we've taken in 382 episodes?
But in all fairness, both of our favorite hockey player is Guy Lafleur.
That's true. I do like Lafleur. So, I like Lafleur, yeah.
So he's actually the subject of my photo challenge next week.
Okay.
He's doing an autograph signing in Tübingen.
Sweet.
Could you imagine the turnout? It'd be me and a buddy from my baseball team, the other Canadian, who was not even alive when he was playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I chose a flower, and there it is.
Okay, what kind of flower is this?
Red one.
I don't know. I'm not a flowerologist, but do you know what kind of flower it is?
No.
Okay.
It's in our backyard. It exists. The lady who lived here before us bought the house from. She is a florist.
Okay.
And had planted a bunch of stuff. And I think we tried to get rid of these because they were in a spot where we needed the room. And we keep tearing them out and they just keep growing back. We cannot kill these flowers.
Okay. Now, your bokeh looks very different than my bokeh. Now, I shot mine with the 70-200, but yours looks like something else is going on here. There's movement to your background bokeh.
No movement.
Okay. Feels like it's moving.
It does.
Okay. So how did you accomplish this?
This is the 85 mil.
Okay.
At probably at F1.8, maybe F2 by accident, but probably F1.8.
Yeah.
Sort of probably around 10 o'clock in the morning, so pretty bright sunshine, so very fast shutter speed, somewhere like in 1/4000th or something like that.
Okay.
And the technique is, it's a very complicated technique. This is all done in camera, by the way.
Okay.
So I thought my thought was that your instinct was going to be I did something in post.
No, I don't think you did anything in post, but I'm not sure what you did.
This is something that I'm going to highly recommend. I'd heard a little something about it, so I decided to experiment with it. It's just called the PBM. It's very complicated. It stands for the plastic bag method.
Plastic bag method. Okay.
Yeah. So basically what I did was I have like a plastic bag. I just like was ripped two holes in, one on each side, put the camera through one, and then the lens sort of mostly through the other end. But okay. Then had a bunch of some of the plastic bag kind of falling in front of the lens.
And this is obviously a clear plastic bag?
Sorry, a clear plastic bag, yes. Yeah. Like a Ziploc or something like that.
Okay.
It was just a regular, like not a bread bag because you don't want the crumbs in your camera, but
sure.
But and so basically you just kind of hold the plastic in front of it, kind of wrap it around the lens so it kind of comes in front a little bit. Some of it will stick out further, and it's really rough. You don't pull it tight, so it's kind of all messy.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it sticks out further than the other, and some of it kind of comes in front. And by experimenting of how big of a slit you leave, because the slit in the middle is where you place the flower.
Sure.
So that it is crisp, and then the rest of it is bokeh, and then but also got that crazy motion thing because the plastic bag is affecting the light.
Cool.
Yeah. It's added to last week's thing of something that extra mile, which is not even the extra mile. I mean, it's a little bit of messing around, but I'm going to shoot a lot more with this.
Okay. No, I like that. I'm going to try it.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. And so I think I'd done it once before a couple years ago and just briefly and quickly tried it with the 30 mil lens and it didn't work out that well, but with the 85, it worked out really well.
Almost looks like a painting to me. Like it just has a sort of a watercolor brushstrokey background, which
well, it's a photo of a painting.
Sure. Yeah.
No, it's not.
I think it's cool looking. And again, a very different look than, you know, my photo in the bokeh that's presented there. So again, just different things to try, different ideas here. And I like both of them. I really think I'd like to shoot my exact same photo again with that just to see how it looks that way. So
I was pretty pleased with how it turned out. And again, yeah, we'll use that. I'm gonna try it with some portraits and whatnot and see what sort of effect. Maybe with the baseball cards this year. Do it with your son's baseball team.
Sure.
No, don't do that.
I'm not going to.
That will not fit in at all.
Yeah, and sometimes I really like the circular look to the bokeh in the background, and so I can see, you know, this version, the version that you presented, it kills a little bit of that effect. So it kind of just depends on what you're looking for. But if you're trying to look for sort of the idea of movement, it almost looks like here's a static flower with kind of wind going on in the background, and it just looks cool. So
it does. And the fact that you can do this in camera without having to mess around is a major plus.
Yeah. And why not, you know, if you're already set up to do this, take one, try a couple with this technique, and then, you know, if you want to compare it, just pull the bag off and then shoot it without and see what you like.
Do it. All right. Topic. This week, I spoke with Amber Hughes, who we've had on the show a number of times. Fantastic wedding photographer, great person, even though we've only met her once.
Vancouver based too, so she gets ticked that box.
Tick that box. She's Canadian. Yeah, no, but she's been on a few times. Always delightful to have her on. And if you don't know her, you should check out her website, amberhughes.ca. She's got great photos, just amazing. Like when I get married again, I'll make sure she shoots my wedding photos.
Really? You're going to 381 episodes and you're hiring her?
No, as a secondary shooter.
Okay. All right.
No, you'll be primary.
Well, plus I'll be free.
Yeah. and you'll be in the wedding party though. So spoiler alert, I was going to ask him to be my best man.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Yeah, at the trophy wife wedding that I haven't even met yet.
Okay, all right.
So, spoiler alert.
Keep it on the down low.
Don't mention this to my wife.
Okay, all
right. Okay, because we're actually pretty happy right now, but come on.
Yeah, it's not going to last.
How long is that going to go? No. No. All right. Anyway, so I checked in with Amber Hughes, and we were talking, we were all getting ready to talk about some other subject, which we ended up talking about, but that'll be down the road a little bit. But while we were getting started, we just kind of went rambling about how she preps for a wedding day and other related stuff to shooting a wedding that I thought turned out to be very interesting and very useful. And so that is going to be the interview that you hear right now. So without further ado, here's my interview with Amber Hughes.
Oh yeah, we've got a lot coming up, and it's a funny year for me because it's very spread out this year. Usually it's very condensed into July, August, September, but I just shot my first wedding in March, and it's like almost like every single month has at least one or two weddings. Like it's all kind of spread out instead of all concentrated. So it's going to be a longer season for me in a lot of ways, but hopefully not quite as much of a marathon.
Is that good or bad to have it spread out?
I think it's good, actually. It's nice because it's not all on top of each other, because, you know, you get further and further behind the more you shoot close together, because then it's not just like one day and then the next day. It's like that one day yields, you know, like a week's worth of work. And then suddenly there's another week behind it, and then another week behind it of shooting of photos you got to go through and edit and all that stuff. So having it spread out makes it so that you're more on top of things.
So how long would it take you for a turnaround? Like if you were to just shoot a wedding and then deliver it to the client without having to shoot more weddings?
Oh, I could have it back to them probably within like 2 weeks.
Right.
At least. I mean, that's just with me having time to breathe. And if I go really hard, I could finish it in a week, but that makes me a little crazy. So,
yes.
But the problem is that I have all the weddings before it. So it actually takes me a lot longer to get things back.
Mm-hmm.
And just, yeah, try to keep my sanity at the same time.
So generally when you do shoot, like say you shoot four weddings, would you shoot all four and then start working on one?
Well, do you mean four weddings, like, consecutively back to back to back?
Like four Saturdays in a row you shoot?
No, I would shoot, and then I would start work on the first one that following week, and then be continuing to work on that one, shoot the next one, so they're consecutive in my editing queue, so it doesn't just pile up, and then I eventually get to it.
Right.
That way is madness.
It is. But now, so, like, let's say you have four that you're working on simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. I don't work on them simultaneously. So I would finish the first one and then get on to the next one.
I see.
Yeah.
And by that time, do you remember what you shot?
You'd be surprised. I do, actually. And then there are occasions, though, where I'm going through, I'm like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Thanks, past me.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes it is a bit like, wow, this is really cool. It's like a little gift to myself. But for the most part, I do remember. I mean, the big events and anything that was pivotal and memorable to what happened that day, I definitely do remember.
Mm-hmm. Are there some shots that you think that you might have cut right away, but later on appreciated more?
No, not really. I mean, I'm a notorious over deliverer. I usually keep way more photos than a lot of other people do. So I don't think that if it's an interesting shot, if it's got emotion in it, it's got, you know, all those key things, then they're getting it. So there's literally nothing that they're not getting that it might be a viable image.
So they can make the decision on their own.
Yeah, I feel like there's just too many things about an image that might be more important and special to them than I might myself know for me to cut out some specific like quirks and stuff like that.
Yes.
I mean, if it's unflattering, if it's, you know, if there's camera shake, it's not in focus, it's badly exposed, of course I will not deliver those things. Or if there's too many in a row that are basically the same, then I'll only give like one or two of those.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll always be the best of those images. But yeah, no, I do tend to include quite a bit of my photos in the final product.
So the wedding you did in March, do they already have their final images?
No, not yet. I'm actually just working on those right now. So they should have them soon.
So what I'm getting at is we haven't even started the show yet, but maybe we have, I don't know. what is the optimal window for the client to receive their photos?
Well, see, so here's the thing is, even though it could take me that little time to get things back to people, the standard turnaround time in Vancouver is somewhere between 10 to 12 weeks. Okay. So that is what most photographers are saying. Mm-hmm. Some people promise less than that. They probably also don't have kids or any kind of a life. But that, to me, that's the amount that people say. If you set that up ahead of time, if anything happens, say you had a family emergency or, you know, anything might happen, right? That gives you the buffer that you could push it up to that time if you need to, if you need the extra time, or if you have just too much going on, you're too swamped. I would like to have things back to clients within like 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, again, depending on how busy you are, what's going on in your life, that sort of thing. I always tend to underpromise and overdeliver. So I try to say, yeah, it's going to be this long. And if you say that right up front, people are like, great. I got that in my mind. I know that's what's happening. And then if you deliver earlier than that, they're like, you're the best thing ever.
Yes. But let's say you can do it. Let's say you are remarkably fast and you shoot on Saturday, you can have them delivered by the following Wednesday, which is really pushing it. Like that's unreasonable.
Crazy. Yeah.
It is crazy. It also sort of means you're cutting corners.
I think so.
However, let's say you aren't. Let's say you're just that remarkable if you're the bride, do you really want to see your pictures on that Wednesday?
Oh, I think you'd be like over the moon. Obviously, I think you'd be more than excited. You might still be coming down from the wedding, though. I would think probably like minimum 2 weeks just to give some time to decompress.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been kind of noticing. Where so mm-hmm. There are times because I'm not a wedding photographer, and so generally if I do shoot the occasional wedding, and when I don't have other weddings stacking up, so I can generally mm-hmm. get to the images rather quickly. So 10 to 12 weeks, if I was a wedding photographer, I would be right in that wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But I can deliver usually in, you know, say 8 days or something like that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I try. Well, not really. It's you know, if you don't have any other weddings to do, yeah. you're fine.
Totally.
But I'm debating on whether or not that's a good thing, because
I would finish it. I would sit on it. I would make a slideshow.
Mm-hmm.
And I would send them the slideshow first, and then send them their gallery. And that's the way I would do it in that case. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always do that anyways. I do send them a slideshow before they get their gallery.
Right.
But that would be the first thing I would do. If you are ready and you want to give them something that they're going to be like, oh my God, about, make them a slideshow set to music that's emotional. Send them that first, hold on, and then deliver it the next week. That's what I would do.
I'm trying to think back of what I would like, because I mean, on your wedding day, if you remember yours,
It's so long ago now.
Well, that too, but you don't, there's a lot you don't remember. I mean, I find, because yeah. it just kind of goes by in a blur.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even for the guy. I mean, for you know, the girls, women tend to have done more of the planning, like in terms of, you know, the flowers, et cetera. Not always, but that's kind of how it went with ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a lot more going on that day. So I think even less they remember. So maybe getting the pictures immediately is good. Or it could be like a fine wine.
So, but I think that it's nice to have some decompressing time, kind of come down from the wedding. I mean, it's such an emotionally charged day. There's so much that you've been planning towards this day. And I think it's nice to let the memories get a little blurrier so that you can then see the photos and have them bring you back to that day rather than have any residual anything that you're feeling from the day.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I kind of feel personally, is that it's I kind of want to forget part of what was around that image. Mm-hmm. And I find that I've been looking back at some images I took of my kids like 6 years ago, and I'm starting to appreciate some of them more and more, like ones that mm-hmm. I didn't really care for, but now and then some I really don't know why I took them or kept them.
Yeah. Well, there's always that.
It's like, wow, did I need 400 of that?
You know. Oh yeah. At the time. Yes.
At the time, I evidently did, but, no, I Okay, so is the 10 to 12 weeks, is that, has someone figured out that is the perfect time for it to gestate, or that's just, hey?
No, that's more how, when you're a really busy wedding photographer, that's really logistically how long it can take when you've got so much, like, because you're not just shooting, like, if you're maybe shooting two weddings a weekend, you've got engagement sessions happening as well, you've got meetings, you've got, like, there's so much that goes into it
mm-hmm.
that even though physically, yes, if I sat down and had nothing else, I could sit here and crank it out in that time, there is so many other things calling your attention as well. And who knows, you might be traveling for weddings, you might be, you know, XYZ, and just having like a day off every now and then, that all piles up. And I find kind of the sweet spot for like the limit of how, or sorry, the, if you're really busy, that's sort of, you're in that zone, you're getting closer to there when you add all that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about like, this is what it this is a good time to be delivering it, so much as this is what I physically can do.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get up to that certain level.
Do you ever work on, like, let's say you shoot on Saturday in the afternoon, mm-hmm. wedding starts. Do you work Saturday morning on a previous wedding?
Oh, no, not at all. Not ever. I like to spend my mornings sort of relaxed, kind of marinating on some different ideas of what I would like to do, looking at things that inspire me. You know, I might spend some time on my journal. I try to keep my morning very, very mellow before I do the wedding. That way I'm not in any way stressed out or thinking about anything else. Nothing's pulling my attention. I'm focused on that day. I'm getting myself ready for that day. I kind of think of it like, you know, if you're going to be doing a performance as an actor, you usually spend some time by yourself, just having quiet time, getting yourself in the zone, getting yourself ready, mentally prepared. So that's sort of the way I treat the morning.
Mm-hmm. That's actually the same. That's exactly how I do it as well. If I'm shooting a wedding or a wedding video or something like that, or
mm-hmm.
or just playing baseball, really, I try to, you know, but yeah, good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thanks. That's episode one right there.
There we go.
Yeah. A lot of questions I didn't know I had.
I know that it just all kind of came up.
And we're back.
All right. Have you thought any more about trophy wives?
Yes. It's all I think about.
Should I potentially give my old English classmate a call for you?
I didn't want to ask, but yeah, that's where I was leaning. Is she seeing anybody? I mean,
I'll check her Facebook.
Will she make me sign a prenup?
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a problem. I'll check with my lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah. And scene. All right. Photo challenge for next week is, we talked about it last week, man. We talked about your love of this time of day.
Yeah.
Noon, the noonday sun.
Yes.
No, magic hour. Photo challenge for next week is magic hour. It's starting to be amazing. And make sure you take your camera out next time.
Okay, will do.
And do it. Magic hour it is. Photo challenge for April is 50 millimeters, 50 millimeter focal length. And we'll talk about that the following week, May 8th. So, and hashtag that. Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or Hey Hosers, and we'll have a look, and Adam will make you feel like less of a photographer.
I'll try.
All right. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
They can go to adamschwartz.ca. And how about your stuff?
You can find mine at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.